Going to read the Word of God just now from 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, and we're reading this morning from the second chapter, 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, and reading together from verse number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse number 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first verse. The Apostle Paul here is the writer, and he's writing, of course, to Timothy, who's a young servant of the Lord. And this is the last letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. And oftentimes the last thing that a person says or the last thing that a person records or writes is often the most memorable. And so it's an important letter for all of God's people, but especially to those that are young in the faith and have a whole life to serve the Lord. And so let's read from verse number 1, the 2 Timothy 2. Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We'll just end there right at the end of the chapter, and we know that our God will bless the reading of the word that he himself has inspired and given as he sees fit to all of our hearts and lives this morning. Now let's turn again, please, to 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. And you'll find our text this morning in verse number 15. You'll know, most of you now, that we're doing a little series, very simply entitled Basics for Believers, getting back to the fundamental issues of Christian belief and practice. And we thought about the Christian and the Scriptures, and the Christian and the Saviour, and the Christian's sanctification, and the Christian's standing, and various other aspects of Christian salvation, and so on and so forth. And today we're considering the believer in the study, and thinking about having a quiet time and getting alone with God, with his word, and studying the Scriptures. The believer and the study. And you'll find our text in verse number 15, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Just that very first word, study. And that's a commandment there, study, to show thyself approved unto God. The Apostle Paul, writing here under inspiration, that's very clear from verse number 1 of the chapter there. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul had received the words that he spoke under inspiration, and we know therefore that it is the will of God that every believer would be a student of God's word, the believer and the study. Tonight, or this morning, our subject is how to successfully study the Scriptures. How to successfully study the Scriptures. Let's unite our hearts together and let's pray as we consider this very practical issue this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the Word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that we have everything that God wants us to know and to understand within the pages of this precious book. But Lord God, we realize that the Word of God needs to be opened. It needs to be read. It needs to be considered. It needs to be studied. And it needs to be obeyed. Help us, O God, to be faithful in our study of God's Word. Help us, Lord, to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth, to discern the will of God for our lives, and to be able to be faithful ambassadors of the Saviour as we seek to spread his word and his gospel to those around about us. Lord, I need thy help, and I confess my weakness. Therefore, Lord, I give myself afresh to thee. Fill me with the Spirit of God, and enable us today to rightly divide the word of truth. Take full control, Lord, and change us today, and enable us to be obedient to whatever God the Lord would say to us this morning. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. A Christian, very simply, is a disciple. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 11, and verse number 26, that the disciples were first called Christians at a place called Antioch. So a Christian is very simply just another word or another name for a disciple. And a disciple is very simply a student. The word for disciple, the Greek word, indicates that the disciple is a learner or a pupil or a student. One who learns, therefore one who studies. And that's the whole thought here that the Apostle Paul is opening before us in this second letter of his to Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So a Christian is a disciple. A disciple is a learner. A learner is a student. And here the Apostle Paul says that a student, in a sense, is a workman. And therefore we know that Christianity is not for lazy people. Christianity is for those who God has called to be servants, to be students, and to be workers. And it says here that a Christian or a student is or a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. And yet, if we're honest today, so many of God's people, so many Christians, find themselves, maybe after many years having been a Christian, apologizing for their lack of Bible knowledge. Many Christians perhaps could name all of the players for Manchester United, but perhaps couldn't make mention of even half of the 12 apostles. Some of us could go to great lengths talking about various worldly affairs, but yet if we were to ask to go through the books of the Bible, we would struggle even to do that from Genesis to Revelation. We could make mention of many actors and actresses and people in the entertainment business and industry, but yet if we were asked to make mention of the 12 tribes of Israel, perhaps many of us this morning would struggle even to mention 4 or 5. And we would be ashamed and embarrassed if maybe a member from one of the cults came to your doorstep and began to talk about their view of the gospel and their version of the word of God, and we would find ourselves very embarrassed at our lack of knowledge of what the Bible actually teaches. Paul says here that we are to be workmen who need not to be ashamed. Need not be the case that our knowledge of Scripture is so paltry and so small. And friends today, let's be honest. If we have no desire today to learn, no desire today to study, no desire today to obey the Word of God, then Christianity isn't going to work for us. It's as simple as that. If we don't have a desire to study and to learn and to work, Christianity is quite simply not going to work for us. Faith without works is dead. And the Bible says that we are to be workmen that need not to be ashamed. And yet how exciting it ought to be for us to be able to open the Word of the living God, the God that created all that we see around us, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God who gave us life, the God who saved us, the God before whom one day we will stand, and we can open the living Word of the living God with the wonderful conviction and assurance that God, if I seek His face, God will speak to me through this precious book. What a wonderful thing it is. It's also a very vital thing. Because God's servant Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15 that we are to be always ready to give a reason of the hope that is within us whenever somebody would ask us what we believe. Just to paraphrase that verse, always be ready to give a reason, to give an answer, to answer any man whenever they ask you a reason for the hope that is within you. So our subject for this morning, how to successfully study the Scriptures. And I just want to make mention of 4 simple things whenever it comes to successfully studying the Word of the Lord. First of all, conditions for successful study. Now we need first of all to take it for granted that the student of God's Word is a person who is in fact a Christian. Now you might not be a Christian this morning. I would still encourage you to read the Word of God and to seek to study the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the entrance of God's Word brings light. And so if you would become a Christian, you'll only ever be saved on the basis of what you know concerning the truth of God, and the truth of God is recorded for us in the Scriptures. But if we're going to go beyond the first foundations and really get into the heart of God's word, it's imperative that we're saved, we're born again. Because the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. In fact, the Word of God says that the spiritual things are foolishness to the natural man. So you'll never really understand the Word of God aright unless the Spirit of God opens your eyes and opens your heart. So we're taking it for granted today that the student of God's Word is saved. But there are, beyond that, conditions for successful study. Very quickly and very simply, a child of God ought to study the Word of God prayerfully. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 119 verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Unlike any other book in all of the world, the Bible is different, because the student of the Bible has the privilege to go to the author of the Bible and to ask the one who gave us the Bible, to ask God himself to help us to understand the Bible and to open our eyes and to speak to us through his word. So whenever you come to study the word of God, the first and foremost thing that you need to do as you open the book, ask the Lord of heaven to open your eyes and to open your heart. So study the Word of God prayerfully. Study the Word of God carefully. Don't study it in a haphazard or hasty manner. You go into any Christian bookstore today, and generally speaking, you'll find books in the devotional section. 1 minute devotions. Tea time devotions. And the idea there is given that all it really takes is 1 or 2 minutes just to hastily get a little verse and read it and then rush right into the day. But we ought to study the Word of God carefully, to think about what we read. Do you remember how a few weeks ago we thought about the clean animals and the unclean? And one of the things that discerned a clean animal was that it parted the hoof and it chewed the cud. And you watch a sheep in a field or a cow in a field and it chews the grass, and then it takes it into its stomach, and then it regurgitates it, and it chews it over again. And that's how the Christian should be with the Word of God. Not just content to sit in church on a Sunday, but to get alone with God and to go over the Word of God again, and to meditate upon it, and to chew over it, and not just to swallow it. You see, if you eat your dinner that way this afternoon, and you go home and you've got chicken and you've got roast beef and you've got potatoes and you've got peas, and you just open your mouth and without chewing it you try to swallow it whole, either you're going to choke or you're going to suffer from indigestion. And the same is true whenever it comes to studying the Word of God. We need to masticate our food. We need to chew it up. We need to be able to meditate upon it and study it prayerfully and carefully and also objectively. So whenever the Christian has come to the knowledge of the truth and they're setting themselves to study the Word of God, they need to do that objectively. And by that I mean they ought to have a goal. You ought to sit down with the Word of God and say, "Now what do I want to get out of my Bible? What is my goal? What is my objective in studying the Word of God?" Well, I want to learn more about God. I want to grow in grace. I want to have a closer relationship with God. And I want to get a grasp of what the Bible teaches so that I might be a better servant of the Lord and a more effective witness. So we need to study the Word of God objectively. We need to study the Word of God practically. Not just coming to this book as looking at it as being a theological textbook, but coming to the Word of God and saying, "Well, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to be?" And we need to study the Word of God as well systematically. We can very easily fall into the habit of saying, "Well, I'll read a psalm every day because the book of Psalms are lovely, they're devotional, and there's maybe nothing too heavy in the book of Psalms. Or I'll stick with the New Testament, but I'm not going to study books like Isaiah. I'm going to avoid like a plague the minor prophets. I'm not going to study the book of Daniel. I'm not going to look at the books of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy because they're very dry. I'm not going to focus on Old Testament history, but I'm just going to stick to the parts that are nice and the parts that are easy and the parts that are palatable. But we ought to study the Word of God systematically, to seek to cover it all. I feel that it's always good to follow a reading plan. Maybe Robert Murray McShane's reading plan. You'll find that in some of the Christian bookstores. You'll get it at the back of many Bibles as well. And it takes you through the whole Bible. You can either study it over 1 year or over two. And if you follow McShane's reading plan, you'll read through all of the Bible once and the Psalms and the New Testament twice. So we need to study the Word of God systematically and also study the Word of God comprehensively. Thinking about our Christian life, that we're not in this as a sprint, but it's a marathon. And we're thinking here long term. And the Christian ought to be able to say at the end of their Christian life and journey that they have come acquainted with the teaching of all of the Word of God. And they know something of what the whole Bible teaches. And whenever they're long in the tooth as a Christian, they've got a comprehensive view of the teaching of the Bible. We need to study the Bible daily. Remember how the Lord taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I wonder today, do you study the Word of God daily? Let me ask you, yesterday, for example, Saturday, did you open the Word of God? Did you open the Bible? Did you read it? Some people say they're Christians, but they never eat. And we know that happens to people that never eat. They starve. And they shrivel up, and they grow weak, and they grow ill, and they die. And many Christians, professing Christians, have a kind of a dead faith, a dead experience, and they're weak. And they don't read the Word of God daily. The Israelites were called to go out and to gather up the manna every morning. And that's how the Christian should view the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God as well, believingly, accepting it as the Word of God. This is God's Word, and God will speak to me through His Word. And as the Lord said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth." And then we need to study the Word of God submissively, remembering the principle of James chapter 1 and verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." You see, folks, the reality is that if we have no desire to obey the word of God, our study of God's word is going to be completely profitless. Just like coming to church. If you've no desire to obey what God says, you're wasting your time even pretending to be a Christian. Because Christians are people who follow the Lord and obey the Lord. We have this idea that, remember whenever Woolworths was open and you went in there and there was the pick and mix section and you got a little pink paper bag and you got a little shovel and you looked at all the sweets and you could have some of these if you wanted them and just take whatever you like and leave the rest. That's how people view Christianity. Well, I'll take out all the nice bits. I'll accept that God can forgive me. And I'll accept that God can get me to heaven. And whenever I face a trial, I can call upon the Lord then. Those are nice things. But as for witnessing, as for praying, as for seeking the Lord, as for surrender, as for living a spirit-filled life, I don't want those parts. I leave those. I'll leave out the hard bits. I'll take the easy bits. That's not Christianity, folks. A Christian is a person who seeks to follow the Lord and obey the Lord and take up the cross and surrender themselves and to study the Word of God submissively. So there are conditions for successful study. And then there are also practicalities for successful study. You know, people view the Bible very mystically. And they'll say, "Well, you know, I want to get a word from the Lord." And maybe they just open, you know, if you ever go to a Chinese takeaway and they give you a little fortune cookie sometimes and you crack it open and you open it and you get a little piece of paper and inside it there's a Chinese proverb and people say, "Well, that's a word for me." Or they open their horoscopes and they go to their page in the paper and Christians should have nothing to do with it and they get this little word of what's going to happen. People take the Bible the same way. And they'll say, "Well, God, do you have a word for me?" And they'll just open it haphazardly and they'll point to a verse and they'll get something And if it suits their situation, they'll take it as a word from the Lord. And if not, they'll just ignore it and say, well, maybe God doesn't want to speak to me at all. And they view the word of God very mystically. But we need to be practical. God has given us brains. God has given us eyes. God has given us ears. God has given us hands. And God has given us feet. So we need to exercise wisdom. And we also need to give ourselves to working. So practically, how do we have a successful Bible study? Well, first of all, we need to give God quality time. We need to give to God the time of the day whenever we're most awake and whenever we're most alert and whenever there are the least distractions. Morning time generally is the best time. The Savior rose up a great while before day to pray. And it's good, therefore, to go to bed reasonably early and to say, Lord, give me a good night's sleep so whenever I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll be fresh and I'll be able to study your word. And the same thing goes, friends, with coming to church. You're not going to profit coming to God's house if you're sitting up to midnight or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning watching all of the rubbish of the day on television. And then rolling out of bed and maybe rolling over in bed and saying, well, I'm too tired to go to church. I'll just stay at home. Or you come to church and you sit in church and you sleep. You're not going to benefit from coming to church at all. And so it is with studying the Word of God. I remember an old saint of God who worked with the Child Evangelism Fellowship, a very godly man, and he tithed his day. Now, he believed in the principle of tithing his finance and giving to the Lord's work, but he also tithed his day. He gave God a tenth of his 24-hour day. So he would spend approximately 2.5 hours every day alone with God, with God's word and in prayer, and he would tithe his day. And I'll tell you, you could notice the benefit of that in his life. So give God quality time. Then get alone with God. Matthew 6:26 says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door. Now, we can look at that very practically, and yes, I believe that we need to have a place in our home where we get alone with God and we seek the Lord, and it's a place, whether it's our bedroom or whether it's the closet or whether it's a study or whether it's the kitchen, somewhere that you can get alone and you can close the door and shut out all distractions. And it's just you and God and His Word. And God will bless you for that. He says if you do that, He will reward you openly. Take a notebook with you and a pen. So that if God speaks to you, you can write down maybe the promise that God gives you, or a verse that God gives that comforts you, or maybe a commandment that God gives you, and you can take a notebook or a pencil and write down the date in your Bible. You'll notice if you've been with us on Tuesday nights that whenever God spoke distinctly to Ezekiel, he was able to say where he was and what time it was and what part of the year it was whenever God spoke to him. And that's a wonderful thing, to be able to go back and open your Bible or open a notebook and say, well, God gave me that wonderful promise, or God opened my eyes, or God spoke to me at that time, and there it is in the notebook. Also, be patient. Take time to learn and develop, just like a professional athlete or somebody that purposes in their heart and going to run the Belfast Marathon. And they maybe have never taken part in a race before, and they go out the first day to run, and they maybe run 200 or 300 yards, and they're blowing like a whale, and they're exhausted. And then they say, I'm never going to be able to make 26 miles, or whatever it is. But then they go out again the next night. And then they regulate their diet, and within a month or two, they're discovering that they can run a mile. And then they can run 2 miles, and then they can run 5, and then they can run 10, and then they can run 15. And they look back over a long period of time with discipline and with patience and with regulating their life and their diet and their sleep pattern and exercising themselves. They discover that they're able to do things that they never thought possible. And so it will be with you as a Christian. Be disciplined. Don't give yourself to serving the Lord or studying His Word in fits and in starts. But keep at it. Don't give up. Even whenever the going's hard, keep on reading. keep on praying. Ask questions whenever you study the Word of God. Old Dr. Harry Ironside, I believe, had this little system of asking 10 questions whenever he came to any chapter of the Bible, and he would ask 5 questions on information, and then he would ask 5 questions on application. The 5 questions on information as he came to study the Word of God. What is the principal subject? What are the leading lessons? What's the best verse in this chapter? Who is the principal person? And is there any teaching about Christ? And that would lead him into studying all of the doctrines and teachings of that particular chapter. And then in a practical manner, he would ask 5 questions that he would call application. Is there an example for me to follow? Is there an error for me to avoid? Is there a commandment for me to obey? Is there a promise for me to claim? Is there a prayer for me to echo? And if you ask those sorts of questions whenever you study the Word of God, you'll discover that the Word of God will become so alive and so relevant to you. So there are conditions for practical study. There are practicalities for successful study. There are also aids to successful study. You say, is there anything that I can get that will help me to study the Bible? Well, the primary tool, of course, is the Bible itself. People can get bogged down with all sorts of books and helps and study aids and manuals, and so much so that they begin to rely on all of these different books rather than the Bible itself. Get the Word of God into you. Read the Bible. Read it alone. But yes, there are things that we can use to help us to study the Word of God. We've made mention already of having a notebook and a pen and some coloured pencils. Take a notebook, and as you read the Word of God, you can divide it up. You can get key thoughts and key verses and key references and compare Scripture with Scripture. You might want to take coloured pencils and underline verses in your Bible. Maybe the colour red, for example, dealing with salvation. Blue, dealing with heaven, and you can colour code your Bible that way. But also, a concordance is very helpful. And there are 3 very popular concordances. Young's Concordance, and Strong's Concordance, and then Cruden's Concordance. Somebody said to me once, if you're a young Christian, you can use Young's Concordance. And if you're a strong Christian, you can use Strong's Concordance. And if you're a crude Christian, you can use Cruden's. And I use a mixture of Strong's and Cruden's. Strong's gives you a great reference of all of the Greek and Hebrew words at the back, and you can study those words. Cruden's is very concise, easy to use. You might also want to use a study Bible. There are many study Bibles available. I personally think that there are far too many. But the one that I refer to again and again and again is the Thompson Sheehan Reference Study Bible. Make sure that you get yourself a good authorized version study Bible, and that'll help you. The authorized is the best translation that is in the English language. Then you might want to get a commentary. Some people rely so heavily on the commentaries, or maybe going onto the internet, and that can be a very dangerous thing. It can be a lot of distractions. Old C.H. Spurgeon said concerning the commentaries, he says, you know, the commentaries are supposed to shed a bit of light on the Bible. He says, I find that the Bible sheds a lot more light on the commentaries. But there are some commentaries that are helpful. Matthew Henry is indispensable. Albert Barnes isn't too bad, and there's many commentaries that you can get. But don't get too bogged down with the commentaries. Your chief aid in studying the Bible is the Holy Ghost. Remember how the Lord said to his disciples, he says, but when the Spirit is come, he shall guide you into all truth, for he shall testify of me. So make sure that you rely on the Spirit of God. And ask the Spirit of God to open your eyes and open your hearts. We had the Russellites, or the Jehovah's Witnesses, at our door just during the week there. And as they came to the door, they held up the Watchtower magazine. And they asked me, do I ever look at the Bible? Do I ever read the Bible? I says, well, yes, I do. And she says, it's very hard to understand. And I says, well, I'm sure, yes, there's parts that are hard to understand. But the Spirit of God Himself, the Holy Ghost, promises to guide us into all truth whenever we submit ourselves to to him. And people will tell you that the Bible is hard to understand. And yes, there are parts that are hard to understand. But if you rely on the Spirit of God, and if you're patient, and if you give it time, and if you're earnest in seeking the Lord, you'll discover that the Spirit of God can open your eyes. I remember an old preacher was asked by a student, "Can you recommend a good commentary on such and such a book in the Bible?" Whatever book it was, maybe it was Ezekiel. "Can you recommend a good commentary on it?" And he says, "Have you ever tried the Holy Ghost?" The Spirit of God is the best commentary on the Word of God, because He Himself has given us the Word of God. Lastly, and in closing, some methods of successful study. There are different ways we can study the Word of God, but the best way is to study it simply. Don't dive in at the deep end, but there are some helpful areas in which we can study the Word of God. We can study the Word of God chronologically. That is to say, we can start at the beginning, book of Genesis, and we can just study it right through to Revelation and start at the beginning. We could also take a single book in the Bible for a more in-depth study and study that book from the first verse to the last verse. You might want to take a book in the Bible that's relatively short, and maybe that isn't too deep or controversial. Maybe the book of 2 Thessalonians or 1 Peter or the book of James, and find out who the author is and who was he writing to. Where was he whenever he wrote the book, and what are the chief themes, and divide the book up and get through the book that way and just study it verse by verse from beginning to end. You can also study the Bible topically. And you might want to take a topic or a subject that's interesting to you, maybe the subject of prayer or the Christian facing trials and temptations, and get a concordance and follow that theme throughout the Bible, and you'll discover that that's one of the quickest ways to learn in the Word of God. You might want to do a biographical study. Maybe take some great saint of God, someone like John the Baptist, and study his life. Think about his strengths and think about his weaknesses, and put yourself in his or in her shoes. Think about their triumphs and their victories and their faults and their feelings and their privileges and their opportunities and their peers and how they had a relationship to God, positively or negatively. You might want to study the Word of God theologically and take a great doctrine of the Bible, maybe the Trinity, or the deity of Christ, or the atonement of Christ, and begin in the Bible from the first mention of it and trace it throughout all scriptures. You can study the Bible typically. That is to say, you can take one of the great types in scripture, something that represents the Lord, maybe the Lamb. Remember how John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," and say, "Well, now, where's the first time the Lamb is mentioned in scripture?" And you'll get yourself right there to the gates of Eden. And then you'll look at Cain and Abel. And then you'll go through into the book of Exodus and you'll see the Passover lamb. And then you'll follow on through the book of Leviticus and you'll see the sacrificial system set up. And you'll follow it right through until you get to the New Testament and you'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, our Passover that was sacrificed for us. And you'll see how the lamb was pure, and the lamb was separated, and the lamb was a meal, and the lamb's blood was shed, and you'll get this wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you might want to take the tabernacle, or the temple, or the priesthood, or the whole sacrificial system, or the high priest's garments. There's so many typical studies that you can do. Or you can just study the Word of God practically and consider practical areas for Christian living. How does God want me to run my home? How can I be a good wife? How can I be a good husband? How can I know the will of God? How can I witness? Does God have a plan for me financially? How best can I serve the Lord? And you can study the Word of God practically. And so there's conditions for successful study, practicalities for successful study, aids to successful study, methods of successful study, but most of all and most importantly, look for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find him in every book in the Bible. Remember whenever the two were on the road to Emmaus, and many Christians are like them, and they're filled with doubts, and they're filled with fear, and they're filled with disappointment, and they're tired, and they're weary, and they're despondent, and they're discouraged, and they just wonder, have they got it all right? And then the Lord came, and the Lord drew near to them, and they just poured out their woe, and then what did the Lord do? He opened the Scriptures. And he began at the books of Moses, right throughout the Old Testament, through the prophets, and he spoke to them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. And if you're a Christian today and you're downcast and you're discouraged and you're despondent and you're dry and you're finding the going hard and you're weary and you're disappointed and you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel, what's the best thing for you to do? Just get alone with God. And ask the Lord to draw near to you and open up the old book and look for the Savior. And you'll discover that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he knows how you feel, and he knows what you're going through, and he knows what you have faced, and he knows what you are facing, and he knows what you will face. And you'll discover that he's able to succor those that are tempted, because he himself was also tempted. And he's come through it all, and he's alive forevermore. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed.